ladies and gentlemen.
Triple M has rocked Sydney since way back when. And while some shows come and go, one show remains.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Here comes the... Ready you now.
Listen to the crowd roar.
The greatest sports legends.
Would you put your hands together?
The soundtrack to your Saturday mornings. And in 2022, a couple of the stars return to the starting lineup.
And here we go.
The best broadcaster in the business, Dan Ginnane, and racing royalty, Richard Friedman, join Iron Woman, Candace Warner. Seatbelts on. Welcome.
So welcome back.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Triple M, good morning and welcome to... Now, this was the studio that was featured last night on the RAB special, which was great. Well done to everyone at Nine who put that together. It was actually very, very good. But there was a shot. Hello to you, Candace.
Good morning.
I'll bring this up for one reason. A, to recognise RABs, because it was, you know, this is a show.
Love really. RABs.
But also, it was Billy Birmingham doing his RABs, and Richard was in the middle. I said, oh, Richard, you featured on the RABs doco last night for about 5 seconds. And Richard's response was, So, I mean,
sorry.
Thank you,
Dan. Thank you for recognising me. You're probably the only person who did. But, big day today. Oh, look, not just because it's Grand Final Day, but it's also Epsom Metropolitan Day. That's a big day out at Randwick. Very big.
It is. Graham
Might
Arnold.
Run a bit of a second to the Grand Final.
Yes. Grand Final's tomorrow, by the way, Rich.
Oh, tomorrow.
Graham. I know you've been a touch off the pace with the train of Garibas tomorrow. Graham Arnold is going to join us after 11. He's got the World Cup ahead of him. Big show, actually. Candace's quiz in this hour. Rusty is back talking motorsport. We're going to talk the Swans. Let's have an honest conversation about the Swans. Why did they suck last week? Let's actually have that chat.
Well, I don't know how you can have that chat. I mean, there must have been 40 different things going wrong. You can't identify them all.
Well, let's identify as many as we can. Candace, you look very nice. Are you planning? Are you planning?
She's surprised.
No, yeah. I mean, we dress like grubs here, but you're all, you know.
No, I've just got my.
You had a jacket on when you came in, like a professional.
I'm a bit suspicious of that tan.
It's Grand Final week, you know. I just thought it's tomorrow. Just why
it's
not?
Tomorrow,
why not,
Candace? Bring, by the way,
but why not bring a bit of professionalism to our show?
We haven't had it in 20 years. Why start now? We're going to talk about the NRL and the Grand Final. Look, there's calls for it to go to daytime.
It's got to be day.
Okay, 133353. Never going to happen, but let's actually talk about it. 133353.
I think they weren't overly happy with the time slot of the AFL Grand Final.
We'll talk about that. Triple M Dead Set Legends here on a Saturday morning. Call us anytime, 133353.
If it happens on the field, in the change rooms, or the car park, hear about it here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Dan Ginnane, Richard Friedman, Candace Warner.
Triple M Dead Set Legends on a Saturday morning. The quiz coming up in this hour with Candace and the show here. We're giving away at some point a Jimmy Brings voucher. We're giving away grog. How good's that? Jimmy Brings delivers drinks in 30 minutes. Get Jimmy. So we'll do that to the best.
Can I also
of the
just
day.
Mention that the quiz is a NRL quiz. Grand Final edition today, so makes it extra
You're giving
special.
Giving away NRL Grand Final tickets?
No, I'm not.
Right.
Because the station didn't give us any. Otherwise, I would.
Now you're a bit cranky at the station.
I am cranky today. No, not at the station. I'm cranky.
Why?
Because
Why?
This week I've decided to go off sugar and go off carbs for
Why?
A week. Well, because I do these silly things to challenge myself and...
Okay, what event have you got? Because
nothing.
You've got some horrific fake tan happening.
No, that's from my holiday in Queensland. Thank you very much.
That's come on. That is...
And I'm Maltese, so I tan easy.
You are more orange than Cheetos.
Get lost. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're... Listen, what are you trying to lose weight or something? You don't need to lose
I'd
weight.
No, I'd like to challenge... Anyway, enough about me. I was just saying
you
I'm a little
it up.
Bit... I was just saying I'm a little bit...
A little
grumpy
bit edgy.
Because I All haven't
right.
had sugar.
All right. I thought, I mean, you're a bigger star than either of us at this station. You could have wrangled two tickets to the NRL Grand Final. I know the Saturday morning show is the little engine that could here at Triple M, but I thought you could have wrangled
if
tickets.
If anyone could, it'd be you, Dan, because you do all the calls for Fox Sports.
I could ring Peter Vallandis.
Oh, God. and get his answering machine.
Hey, hey, Owen.
We're still waiting.
You weren't required there.
We're still waiting for
PBL. It's about 6 weeks and counting, is it? Hey, okay. So our old friend Matty John stirred a hornet's nest. He went on Melbourne Radio and said, oh, the NRL has to go back to a daytime grand final. I think Matt would know. He's right, by the way. I don't think anyone disagrees with that sentiment, but he knows it's not going to happen.
I'm ambivalent about it. You know, I can do things during the day then and then watch a good match at night. I kind of like that.
I personally think it's on too late, especially when I've got young kids who want to stay up and watch the grand final. It is too late for them. So they're missing the boat on, I think, the NRL with trying to inspire that next generation, because I know there's a public holiday the next day, but it's too late.
Problem is, though, it's all about the casual fan. This is why the NRL does this. Prime time, you're going to get the casual fan who doesn't really care about league drop in and watch the game. Melbourne people, Adelaide people, Perth people, and it all adds to the big. It's all about the final.
Yeah, they'll watch it because it's on.
But do you think that? I remember growing up that it was the daytime grand final. Everyone would have a barbecue. Everyone would sort of go around to a friend's house and you'd watch it. It was a big event.
I look, Nine signed a deal that gets them prime time. They're not giving that up. So that's why it's unfortunately a moot conversation. But the football is better, Richard, in daytime. It's especially at that joint. Especially at that joint. It's probably going to rain anyway. It's either going to be rainy or dewy.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be hot.
That is a good point. That I had not considered. But I'll pay you that one. Do you think they'll ever run a Melbourne Cup at night? Or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, locked in for the rest of eternity.
Remember they were starting to eke it closer to the 6 o'clock news? Well, they were starting to get
they
out
moved
there.
It, they were moving it around at one stage to sort of hook in with Hong Kong to try and get Hong Kong punters to punt on the race. You know? But
what about Friday nights under lights at Randwick? How good would that be?
You can't run a Melbourne Cup at Randwick.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Melbourne Cup now. We're talking about just the races
at
Randwick.
At Everest you could run
that
at night.
That would be good.
You could, but they'll never. I don't think they'll ever get lights at
Randwick.
Well,
hang on, Rich. So when's the Everest? October 22, 15?
No, a bit before that, maybe.
Daylight saving is in.
Yep.
I've always thought, Rich, I've always said, I think we said this on the old 6 o'clock show, you could run the Everest as a prime time show. You're on air at 6:30. Well, your Channel 7's on all day with the races, but then the main event, 6:30. We start with all the intros of the jockeys and you run the race at 7 and you give the prize money and you're out at 7:30.
You've just got to be a little careful because I got caught doing that once when I worked there. I put a twilight meeting on as late as possible and lo and behold, we had some delay. The ambulance left the course or something. It's an hour's delay or something. And it couldn't run the last race because it was dark.
In the lead up to Christmas, they do the twilight racing at Randwick and they make a real spectacle and a family event and Santa Claus. And it's unreal.
Yeah, it's good. And Friday nights at Canterbury work too.
Anyway,
well, when we get PVL on, why don't we just have a chat to him about that?
I texted him again this week, by the way.
Nothing. No response?
Nothing.
No response.
I don't know
what I've
done.
Dally M's are at Randwick Racecourse this week. Yeah, very well played.
What was the venue like?
Fantastic. I've got to be honest, fantastic. I think it was in the new
stand. The
wing
stand.
It looked very good.
Daniel, I must say, you looked great on that red carpet.
You didn't see
me on that
red carpet. When did you see me on the red carpet?
Oh, you did.
Okay, let's take some calls here. Jason.
Danny boy.
133353. Makeup's a wonderful. Makeup and fake tan.
You put makeup on?
Not fake tan.
No, it's TV. You've got to put makeup
on. You wore makeup to the Dally M's?
Well, I took it off when I did my TV thing.
Okay.
All right. Jason, 133353. Good morning.
Good morning. Look, I reckon we should have the grand final during the day on a Saturday. I mean, I work public holidays because I'm not in a salary, so I've got to work Monday anyhow. But I'd love it like the AFL. Have it on a Saturday. Have it during the day like we used to. And people get ready and then have it during the day. Have a lot of, you know, people over and just enjoy the day. And it's over and you can sleep at night.
What about the people who work on a Saturday, though?
Yeah,
like tradies, real estate agents.
Yeah. Racehorse trainers.
It would never happen on a Saturday. Jeez.
What?
It would never, just think of yourself. It would never happen on a Saturday. But he's right, the barbecue has disappeared from, I mean, some people have it, but it's not quite the same.
It used to be the best. Growing up, you'd have a barbecue, you'd have your friends over.
Play backyard cricket.
You'd all watch it together. Now it's too late. It's lost its sting.
All right, MMM133353. We can keep talking about that if you want. I just think we're talking about a subject that's unfortunately never going to change. God, I'd love to call it. You wouldn't be I mean, I don't think I've ever been, Richard, to a daytime grand final because I can never get tickets to the old footy stadium.
If you could call a grand final, what would be your ultimate two teams?
No, you can't ask a commentator that.
Why? Why?
You can't ask a commentator
Why?
That because that will sound biased. Penrith people already think I hate them. I love the Panthers. Now you're going to make, I don't know, two big Sydney clubs. Doesn't matter who.
So you're against the interstate clubs.
You said who, the yeah. ultimate grand yeah. final. Well, you want Sydney and you want it bubbling and we're taking it. We're not making this about me. For God's sake, 1-3-5-3. You can front up the next segment. Why did the Swans suck? Triple M.
Game, set and match. And other cliches time permitting. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman and Candice Warner.
Triple M, Dead Set Legends, Candice, Rich, Dan, we all like the Swans. You two, I think, love the Swans.
Love them.
What happened on Saturday at the MCG? We were so, it was so, I remember in the betting, Geelong was slight favourites. Yeah. Not that that's the be-all and end-all, but no one. Was this ever expected by anyone? What happened?
Well, I can only sum it up in racing parlance. Had a very bad day. That just had a very bad day. I don't know. They were out of it from the jump. They missed the start by a length and never got in the race.
Did Geelong want it more?
Well, I don't know if they wanted it more. I think everyone wants it as much as anybody else, but they just executed better, clearly.
Yeah, but from the get-go. Like, there was no...
They knew the Swans had to bring this big pressure game. Everybody knew that. And they were ready for it. And they had strategies to defeat it. And boy, did they defeat it.
And what about Buddy's performance? I mean, that was a bit questionable.
Yeah, he got blanked out a bit, didn't he? But then the whole team.
He wasn't the only one, was he?
No, well, that's right. No.
He's only part of a team and they all got clobbered.
Do you think as a Swan supporter, we expect too much from Buddy? Like we just think that he's going to every single game be a match winner for us?
I think that was built up by others at the club. Oh, look out for Buddy. This, you know, Buddy's year, all that sort of stuff. And I don't know, they were ready for him too.
It's not the first one they've copped.
No, they did cop another.
Didn't Hawthorn absolutely obliterate them?
Yeah, they got a hiding there too.
Now, he's won one, John Longmire, hasn't he?
Yes.
2012 was his.
Yeah, I think so.
Western Bulldogs, that was a great game, actually. And I think they thought they were dudded, the Swans. But, geez, that's, what, three in a row? Their last three grand finals they've lost.
That's bloody hard to get to a grand
final. I understand that.
And they have got there, and that's a feather in their cap. But, you know, they've struck a better team. Geelong, arguably, the best team all year. Like the best horse
won the
race.
They won to win that grand final. That was their 16th straight win. Like, that's huge.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Greg from Kellyville. I think one of us is about to cop it here. Greg, good morning.
Hope it's you.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Thanks, Greg.
Good, good. Yep. No, I'm from Kellyville. I was born and bred in Geelong. And I was just telling the young lass on the switch there that I do the ground announcing for the Sydney Swans. I've been there for over 20 years, guys.
And you're the green.
Now, before you give one of us a whack, how good, and I'm not pumping your tyres here because I spent an hour at the SCG last week. That Collingwood game, that atmosphere is one of the best things I've ever been to, ever. There was the Collingwood fans are feral, but they made it even better, the atmosphere.
Well, I agree. I've seen a lot of games at the Sydney Swans, every home game for the last 22, 23 years. And I just say to my mates and my family who went on that Friday or Saturday night that the atmosphere that the Collingwood fans bring and then the Sydney Swans join in on, it was probably the best atmosphere I've seen at the ground ever.
That was pretty damn good. Now, you want to defend your Swannies?
Well, I've got an each way bet on the Cats because I was born there and I went to the grand final, Dan, and I agree with the daytime grand final being the gig. But look, the Swans played their grand final against Collingwood.
Yeah,
I've seen
much.
It time and time again in rugby league, AFL, in a lot of different codes. When you mentally and physically and emotionally are spent at the end of that game, it's very hard to get up against a really good side. And Geelong have been at the pointy end of the comp for the last 5 or 6 years. They got into the grand final against Richmond in 2020, just got beaten by Dustin Martin. And that game against the Swans, I just think Geelong were premiership ready. And the Sydney Swans have got some young boys in their team that'll be ready in 2 or 3 years.
All right.
Fair enough.
Well, that's fair. You know what?
Fair comment.
How many times do we see any sport? Now, that's a very fair cop from Greg. That they just They play their grand final the week before.
Horses do the same thing. When you see a peak performance, you almost don't want to be on them the next time. It takes a champion to peak. What did they win? How many in a row to get to the grand final? 13, was it?
Swannies?
Yeah.
Did they win that many?
No, it was 9 or 10.
Yeah. Okay. 10 or 11 or
anyway,
something?
Whatever it was. It was a very impressive. And that's why we're disappointed. That's why at quarter time we're going, what's going on? Can I be honest? I know very little about, well, a lot of things, but particularly AFL. But when I saw Joel Selwood come out with Levi Ablett, I thought, oh, shit, we're in trouble.
Really?
I honestly thought there's some...
Do you think that makes any difference to the other team who didn't see it?
I thought Geelong would look very comfortable in that moment.
All right. Okay.
By the way, can we just... Parramatta and Penrith people, when your players, if and when they win the comp tomorrow, just remind them in all the excitement, don't fresh air the kid that gives you the medal. Don't fresh air... Couple of Geelong blokes did it last week.
Yeah, they get carried away.
I know.
They get their manners.
I understand. Just don't fresh air the kid. That is the instruction for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Triple M. Sports update coming up. Dead Set Legends.
Get your helmet on. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Dan Kinane, Richard Friedman and Candace Warner.
Triple M Dead Set Legends. You're going to have to be on your best behaviour, Candace, because we're already running out of time in this first hour and you've got to get your quiz wrapped up. Nice and quick, please.
Yeah, don't worry, it will.
133353 if you want to play the Candace quiz. But while we do, while we get a caller, let's do this.
You'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
Heartbreaker for the Opals at the Women's Basketball World Cup. They lost to China in last night's semi by 2 points and will play for bronze, I think, today against Canada. 11,000 there last night. And what was interesting at the Superdome was half Chinese, half Australian, half Chinese. So anytime someone had a bucket, the cheers were as loud as... What didn't matter who scored?
Yeah.
Did we lose the match because we didn't play well, or did they just outplay us?
I watched this, or at least the second half. Now I'm no expert on women's basketball because I don't watch enough of it. They didn't use Lauren Jackson. I know she's 41, and it's,
why? You
know, the game before
I'd
they
love
did.
To know why?
The oh. game before they brought her on. The game against Belgium. They brought her on at the end, and she did her. You know. Terrific yeah. three-pointer. But, you know, she is getting older. Maybe she...
Was she injured?
Games are all back-to-back. Maybe she hasn't got the fitness like she used to.
But it got to the last play, right? It's 59-all. And we'd sort of made a mess of it. But it was, oh, no, China 61-59, but we had 3.4 seconds left. Wouldn't you think you'd put Lauren on and at worst make her a decoy? Because everyone in that stadium, every Chinese... coaching person and player is going to think that ball is going to Lauren Jackson. They're setting it up for the movie finish, the Hollywood finish. Anyway, there's our coaching expertise.
We still have a chance for a bronze medal, though.
Haven't really added much to that.
The Mancad is back. It happened in an India-England women's one day. Deepti Sharma whipped the bails off before bowling. She ran out the English batter, Charlie Dean. Now, the Indians say the batter was reportedly warned. The English are saying that's all a lie.
Look, I actually saw this and I thought that England were pretty hard done by. The bowler was running in and she had already sort of, her action was already underway. She had the arm up in the air and England, I don't think this should have been out.
You know, just they've put some rules, haven't they, or guidelines around the Mancad. If you warn, after you warn.
No. That,
it's not there. That's I thought they must have just been talking about it.
The Mancad is now a run out.
It's a run out.
Yeah.
Like it's, but I don't think the warning was ever in the rule book. It was just understood that was fair play.
I kind of like sport where they have traditions that are adhered to. Like in golf, you've got to call your own penalties, and the golfers do. And it's a big disgrace if you don't do that.
It's funny. England's T20 captain, Joss Butler, was asked about this during the week. And he said in a World Cup final, if it was against Australia or whoever it may be, if one of the bowlers did a Mancad to the non-striker, would you support your bowler? And he said, no, I'm calling the batsman back. So
I like those things.
But what if
the
batter is repeatedly just... 2 metres outside his or her crease.
Well, I think they've got to get some rules around this so the umpire can step in and say, you should, he's now stepped outside,
you get
warned
a run.
Him,
like
now
the,
you can run him out.
The opposing team gets a run.
That's cloudy.
Yeah.
So they have a rule. If the bars are whipped off and you're out of your crease, you're out.
Yeah, but this instance in that game between England and India, I mean, the poor girl from England, she was watching the bowler, but then the bowler just sort of, as she was going, like, yeah, it was just wrong.
All right. The new coach of the Essendon Bombers is Brad Scott. The former North coach beat out James Hird for the job. Are you surprised, given all the dramas they had Essendon with the SADA and Hird in the middle of it, they would even entertain bringing him back?
I'm not surprised. I see that all the time. Happens in horse racing all the time. People get outed, next minute they're back. This is not just as horse racing, in all sports. Anyway, not surprised.
We're running out of time, Rich, so I can't go through the AFLW scores. Triple M, dead separate edges. 133353. Rich has some very tasty things to say about AFLW.
No, that's Steve Price, not me.
It's going to get us all
sacked. Call up if you want to do my quiz.
133353, Triple M, Dead Set Legends.
Making a racket. Little tennis joke there.
You are the worst umpire that I've ever seen in my life.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Dan Kinane, Richard Friedman, and Candace Warner.
Ladies and gentlemen, they say knowledge is power. Well, plug me in and power me up. It's time on Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Candace's Quiz.
I'm sorry, I did that.
To the great service, great brands, yes. Great value, now available in store and online at Bingley. Better living every day.
I have no problem interrupting the intro to Candace's Quiz, but I shouldn't have interrupted Wonderwall. I'm sorry, that's a big Triple M no-no. I
can't Wonderwall? He's got to get to the end?
It's a epic song, got to get to the end.
It's an epic song, but my quiz is even more epic.
Right. Off you go.
Come on.
All right, today.
What are the rules this week?
It's the same as they are every week, okay?
No, because they're not the same every week.
Okay. Oh,
did someone win it last week?
Who knows?
Yes, we did have a winner last week.
Okay, so this 200 week, voucher gone.
Yes, so this week it's for the $100 Bingley voucher, and we have Sal from Manly Vale.
G'day, Candace.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, yeah, really excited to be here and can't believe I got through.
Oh, gosh, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, today you're against...
My wife's name's Sal. Yeah. You're not my wife.
Today you're against Dan.
Sal.
Okay.
All right, so Dan, I'm going to ask you the first question. How many tryless NRL grand finals have there been?
This to me?
Yes, yeah. Your name's Dan.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. the last one was 86 and I reckon there was another one. I'm going to say two.
You're wrong. There was only one, and you were right, 1986, Parramatta 4 to Canterbury Bankstown 2.
In like 1910, there was a 3-0, but the 3 was a try.
Okay.
Idiot.
All right, let's see what Sal's question
is. Me is an idiot, by the way.
Okay, Sal, how many years since Parramatta last won a premiership?
Oh, here we go. We've gone back to
okay, so they won in 86, so 96, 06, 16, 22, 36 years.
Well done. Great maths there.
Now, I'm warning you, Candace. Are we going back to the old quizzes? Right, no, what colour is
not.
The sky?
Yeah.
Okay. How many legs on a tripod?
Yeah.
No. Okay, Dan, what year had the highest scoring NRL grand final?
Go back to 1910.
It was a 36-33. But that might have been a mandatory grand final. No.
No, that's wrong. So keep going. I'll give you a second chance.
So he gets two chances now.
No, he didn't submit the answer.
How do you know?
Thinking that's not 1951, Owen. Owen, I'm already upset with you this week. Don't rub it
Hang
in.
Hang on. Give me a bit.
No, I'll go West Tigers over North Queensland, 30-16. Or was he right? It wasn't 1951.
It was 1951, Dan.
Oh, you're
sorry.
Forgiven, Owen. Sorry.
South Sydney beat Manly 42-14.
Okay.
Okay. Sal, which NRL team have won the most premierships?
Oh, that's got to be South Sydney.
Well done. And do you know how many? Just
21.
Yes, well done.
This is a disgrace. Yeah.
Did Beck give
you the... No, it's not. Dan, you have to get this question right.
Why? She won 2-0.
It's 2-1. You got the first one right.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. It's all over.
He did.
It's all done. Over. Well done. Well done.
Oh, my God.
Good on you. Oh, my God. $100 Bingley voucher.
Well done, Sal.
Great service.
Wonderful.
Great
friends. Thanks, guys.
Great
Thanks,
value.
Dan.
Now available in store and online at Bingley. Better living every day. Two steps, as Paula Abdul said, Rich, two steps forward and two steps back. That quiz, Triple M, Dead Set Legends.
Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman, and Candace Warner, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Triple M Dead Set Legends, Richard and Candace. I say Richard's name first because this is his segment where he gives us a tip. By the way, this segment about as successful as Candace's quiz at the moment, Richard.
No.
Fruit out of season.
My quiz is successful.
That's not successful. It's terrible.
All right, let's go.
All right. I'm going to go to Randwick, of course, today because it's Epsom Metropolitan Day.
We're getting to the good races, aren't
we? Yeah, yeah. And the Epsom. I'll go for the Epsom. It's one of my favourite races. Now, I've heard quite a bit of chatter around
the hardest races.
Well,
anyway.
No, it's not that. Well, theoretically, it's not that hard.
Okay.
But number three, Ellsberg, I heard his track work rider come off the track and say, "Never work better, boss," to Gerald Ryan, his trainer. So that's, I thought about that. And then Nimmerly, I saw win very, very well at a last start. So I kind of liked her. Fangirl, I think Wallers think it's about to come right. They've got Kikau in the race. They've got Hinged, who's the favourite, or was the favourite, very close to.
Well, that's five you've named.
Yeah, it's a really tough race. But I'm going to go with number five, Ice Bath.
Okay.
Ridden by James McDonald. It's easing. It's probably one of the favourites, but easing a little bit. But loves a wet track. And it's a heavy eight out there today, or it was this morning when they put up the rating. And I think Ice Bath's been knocking on the door to win a big one, and this could be the race.
Okay, there we go. What race again? Race eight?
Race eight, the Epsom Handicap, and we're going with number five, Ice Bath.
Good luck, everyone. Second hour on the way. Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman, and Candace Warner, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This man is going to lead the Socceroos to Qatar. In the next few weeks, it's getting close to the World Cup. I mean, our heads are so much in Penrith and Parramatta and the Swans last week. It's going to be here soon. I mean, even tonight, there's a big event, by the way. They've already sold 11,000 tickets, the Australia Cup, what used to be the FFA Cup. And it's the perfect storm. It's what they dream of. You get the professional team, MacArthur FC in this instance, against the second-tier team. And I'm not being disrespectful, but Sydney United are a local team. And the first team to make the semis, and they made it through to the final. So that's going to be fabulous tonight. The magic of the cup, as they call it. But we're here to talk Socceroos. And finally, this man, he was there in 06 as Gus's caretaker, and he's done Asian Cups, but now he gets to coach a World Cup. Graham Arnold, good morning to you.
Can we put that music back on?
Yeah, I know. Don't you love it? I love it. Graham, Richard Friedman here. How are you? Great to talk with you. The team's fifth straight World Cup. Being the Socceroos coach, it would do my head in. I just don't know how you pull together a team of players from all disparate parts of the world and get them all on the same page for a tournament. Does it do your head in?
Look, I think if you have a good 7 days preparation, which we will, it's shorter than normal. Before a World Cup, it's normally 3 weeks, but... You know, I think the boys have got used to what we've gone through over the last 4 years where, the boys are coming in the day before the game and it's just you're really coaching by video, sending them, the opposition clips before they get on a plane for them to look at while they're flying to the games. But it is what it is, and we don't want to use that as any type of excuses. We've obviously qualified, but still, as you said, it's the fifth in a row. We've only ever won two games at a World Cup in the history of the Socceroos. So, yes, it was an achievement to qualify, but I want more. And I want to go there and really put on a great performance.
Graham, how much of a relief was it for not just the players, but yourself when the boys qualified for this World Cup?
Yeah, look, Candace, it was obviously a very, very tough program. You know, it's... During COVID, the amount of sacrifices those players got, and it wasn't about me, it was about the players. And, the pressure they're getting from their clubs to not come and play for Australia and not travel during COVID internationally, the fact that they had to be PCR tested. I reckon I got PCR tested about 120 times during that period. And just the stress of, if you test positive, you've got to stay in that country for 2 weeks in a quarantine hotel and those type of things. So the boys sacrificed a lot, and I was just so happy for them.
Now, you said it's only 7 days that between when you get them and when the tournament starts, but you did have a couple of warm-up wins against New Zealand. What did you like about it? What do you like about where we're at, and what needs to be better?
I think Now, obviously, with the ball, we need to be better. I thought we were a bit sloppy, but in the two New Zealand games, New Zealand threw at us something different. And when I say that, they threw a physical performance at us, you know, the much more physical than European football and even here in the A-League. So that was a good lesson to take for the boys. The boys have to go back to their clubs now, Rich. I can't, you know, pick players that aren't playing. As I said, I can't, you know, they've got to be 100% fit when they come in. They've got to be ready to go. I've got no time to get them fit. What we have a little bit of time to work on when we get over there is the tactical side of things and the game plan. But on the fitness side of it, they've got to go back to their clubs and be in great form and probably the fittest they've ever been and be ready for these games with short turnarounds. Also, in between games, there's only 2 days. So every third day you're playing. So it's a really condensed World Cup. And, you know, it's going to be a battle of who's the fittest.
You say over the course of 4 World Cups, we've only won 2 matches. Is there a temptation to say, to go and say, I don't want to lose matches? You know, it's not in your thinking, is it?
No. We don't talk about losing. You know, I felt last World Cup, and it's just my feeling, I was there in Russia, we went out trying not to lose. Mm. And I've never coached that way. You know, you've got to go out and you know, expect to win and try to win and put that mindset into the players, you know, that these are one-off games and it's a great opportunity in life to fulfill your dreams. And the whole world's watching. What better time to perform than is at a World Cup? And our first game against France, they've just won the last World Cup. They probably won't be looking at us. They'll be looking at the semi-finals and the final. It's a great opportunity for us to hit the ground running, and we've had the experience of playing World Cup qualifiers in Qatar. We've played 5 games there, and we've won all 5. Yeah. Because when we couldn't get back into Australia to play our World Cup qualifiers, we played them in Qatar. So we've had that experience of being there. We know what the culture's like in Qatar, the weather, all those type of things, and the speed of the pitch, which is completely different to others. So, you know, we've got that small advantage that we've been there, done it before.
At Eden Park on Sunday, we saw Garang Kuhl become the youngest player to debut for the Socceroos since Harry Kuehl. Do you think he's going to make make this World Cup campaign?
Well, you know, it's the kid's only just started, Candice, and he's got to get, you know, he's gone and sold with Newcastle United in the Premier League, in the A-League at Central Coast Mariners. He's come off the bench 6 times. And probably played about, you know, 120 minutes overall. So he'll come back after signing with Newcastle United. He'll play in the A-League to start off the season until January. So no doubt all eyes will be on Garang, but he's definitely got potential. He's got a lot of talent, but as you know, it's only the first step is having talent.
Geez, Candice, you had him on the back foot there. That was proper journalism that you just produced on Graeme.
Don't bring that to the show.
No. You had him umming and ahhing. I mean, no, honestly, Graeme, we've got to let you go because you're a busy man. It is a very exciting time. And it's so refreshing. Ange had that attitude about 8 years ago. We lost all 3 games, but they were bloody great games and we had some great moments. And it sounds like you're going, well, we're there to win. We're there to win. We're not there to play for nil-nils. Good luck, Graeme.
It's not the Australian way.
Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
Exactly. Graeme Arnott, good man. Honey. And he's always been a friend of Triple M, Graeme Arnott. We love him here. Now, junior footy. No competition until the age of 13. Oh, boy. 133.53, dead set legends.
If it happens on the field, in the change rooms, or the car park, hear about it here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman, Candice Warner.
This is going to rock. It's certainly going to fire people up, I think. The Herald had this one last night. In fact, Michael Chamis on Nine News revealing new rules regarding lack of competition in junior rugby league.
This is the biggest shake-up to junior rugby league for decades. The NRL and the New South Wales Rugby League will phase out competitive football for children by 2026. It means that only teenagers will compete for competition points and for premierships. Now, it's sure to be met with plenty of angst, but officials insist they need to do what it takes to protect children from the pressures of friends and family. Now, the other part of this controversial shake-up is the decision to ban tackling for children until midway through the under-sevens. And until that point, they'll play tag.
Okay, 2 things. The kid's not tackling until 7.
I think we might be more okay with that one.
Well, yeah, just by the by, though, why was it halfway through?
Yeah, no, I didn't get that either. You
know, why? Why the seven or eight? But well, halfway through seven.
Is this that's going to end up being a phasing. So it'll end up being then all move to under eights, then halfway through under eights. So this, but the competition element, which always gets people fired up, 133.53, if you want to have your say. So right now it's under nines, I think, is the first year of competition. So next year it'll go to under 10s, then under 11s, under 12s, and then under 13s by 2016. Gee, some of the best years of my limited sporting life were under 10s cricket and under 12s cricket. That's unbelievable.
Basically what they're saying is there are no winners and losers. They don't keep score. Is that what they're saying?
Is this, though, is it to hush the parents, those over-competitive parents? Is it for that? Because he said the pressures of friends and family.
But is it a football code's place to tell parents how they will bring up their children? You may not agree with how they bring them up, but isn't it their right to, you know?
They do this in the netball, and we spoke about this earlier this year about not scoring in, you know, junior sport. But I can tell you that my kids, who are 6 and 8, they can count,
right.
And they love winning. And they, if they
I wonder
lose,
where they got that from.
No, but if they lose, but it's what about at the school swimming carnival, at the school athletics carnival, when you get a ribbon when you come first, you get a ribbon when you come fourth. I mean, I don't think the NRL need to do this. And they've been doing it in New Zealand for a few years now. And kids are turning away from the sport. They're going to basketball. They're going to other sports.
I get the tackling thing. At that age, there can be some very big kids and some very little kids. And I get the tackling thing. I'm not against that. If they play tag, that's a good game anyway. Let them play that till they're 7 or 8. I don't care. But you know, life is a competition. You are in competition every day of your life.
Yep.
Isn't the biggest problem with junior footy, apart from the nut job parents, is the fact that we have kids that develop quicker than others? I mean, it's no secret. Our Islander kids develop faster physically, but then you can't put them against the older
because
Anglo kids because they're not.
But the scoring thing is wrong. It significantly undervalues building resilience. Like you said, losing is a part of life. You have to learn how to be a good loser, how to deal with losing.
Yeah, I think it is
and
a good thing.
And also how to be a good winner.
The NRL, I'm reading here this piece. The NRL's governing body has made the rule changes in a desperate attempt to break the stigma that junior rugby league reflects the violence and brutality of the senior game.
Really?
Keeping score.
Do people really have that? And maybe they do. Is there a stigma that kiddie football is as violent and as brutal as NRL?
It's still going to be played the same if there's no score.
Yeah, you're not going to stop kids from being competitive. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
You cannot keep score, but they're still going to be competitive.
And don't tell me that the nut job parent is going to say, why isn't my little Johnny getting the ball? They're not going to change.
Right. Nah. We need that's a cultural change is beyond the code to control, I think.
Do we think it gets there? Under 13s, that's a massive call. Under 13s. I mean, they're playing rep footy only, you know, a couple of years later.
You've got some people in the Olympics who are 14 years of age. Try telling them that.
There was a bit of a stink over that with the skating at the last Olympics.
Yeah, but that was slightly different.
Yeah.
Anyway, So we all hate the non-competition policy, but we're okay with the just leave them away from tackling for a little longer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is the Dead Set Legends. Hey, by the way, Penrith and Parramatta fans, if you're going to the game, we're replaying the game after our call tomorrow night. So when you're in the car at P1 and you're stuck, or P3 or P5, make sure it's on Triple M, especially if your team wins, and we're going to replay the game after our broadcast ends. Triple M, this is the Dead Set Legends.
Get your helmet on. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman and Candace Warner.
If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
All right, well, LIV Golf finally has a television deal, but there is a catch. The Shark Saudi League has reportedly locked in a deal to have their tournament shown on Fox Sports in the States. Sounds great, doesn't it? LIV has to pay Fox to get it on air. That's how desperate they are.
Well, you know, they got the money. They're so, paying everybody.
But right. they, yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Racing does that, doesn't it? Not Cup Carnival and Cox Play.
No, there's certain amounts of racing that is they yeah. do pay to have on, but they make it back in betting turnover.
Oh, that's exactly
I don't know how
right.
LIV Golf's going to get it.
And, yeah. and sponsorships and all that that's kind right. of stuff. Yep. Yeah.
What is the most expensive drop catch in sports history? Well, you know, we might have, whatever it is, Herschel Gibbs, but how much money did that cost? Because we might have a serious contender here. Yankees baseballer Aaron Judge this week hit his 61st home run of the season, a very significant number. He equals a long-standing American League record. It was in Toronto. Two fans are wearing gloves, were in prime position to catch it. Neither could take it. The ball has already been valued, which was handed back to Judge because it just fell in the bleach in the bullpen. The value of the ball, $1 million American.
No way. Wow. You know, who's paying that?
You know what? They do. It's insane.
No one's paying that.
Now, we might have Jimmy Barnes tomorrow night at the NRL Grand Final. By the way, we're taking Barnesy, all of it live. I don't know what Nine's doing. I don't know what the other radio station's doing, but we're taking all. I think he goes for about 15 minutes.
He's got some good shoes to fill.
So if it's Robbie only 15 Williams. Minutes, what kind of, what like, which songs do you choose?
Well, Lay Down Your Guns and Surrender. Well, you got to.
He's going to do the hits.
Yeah.
And they're a very good point you brought up because Robbie Williams, everyone's raving. Oh, it's the greatest show ever.
It was great.
Little. Yes, but what about the middle song?
Well, he apologised for it. He said, oh, I'm going to do a new song. And then when he said, now back to the hits.
A BS apology.
Do you know what I found funny? That the best moment was when he was singing You're the Voice. So not even one of his songs.
Yeah. No, the best moment was when he came out and said, my name's Robbie Williams, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be awesome. I love that.
He does know how to get the crowd in the palm of his head. And at the behest of Candace, time for our weekly boxing story. I love boxing, but can we just only start talking about fights that are actually happening? Because
well, we do have that. Kambosos is fighting again soon.
That's fine. We'll talk. We love George. We should get him on, actually.
Yeah.
But Fury Joshua, which you were raving about last week.
Yeah.
The Pommy heavyweights. It's not happening now.
Well, at this stage, no. So Anthony Joshua has had all these, he just won't sign the contract. And Tyson Fury has just come out on Instagram and just basically said, mate, you are having a laugh. I've given you everything that you want. You can co-promote this. But he just will not sign the contract. So they gave him an extra few days, but wait and see. I don't think it's going to happen.
That's it. New rule on the legends. We don't talk about fights until they're actually signed and locked away. Okay, that's it. No more. All right. Just before we head to a break here, it is time for this.
We've been there for it all. 4 and 20, Australia's original fan food.
We're underway.
Now, the Dead Set Legends Play of the Week.
3 votes, which means he is your 2022 Dalian medalist, Nicho Hynes.
Yes, indeed, Nicho Hynes. Look, there's a Dalian medal winner every year, obviously, but this is a great story. And he was very eloquent and honest about his upbringing and the troubles that he's had with his mum, and he's very good about her and his dad as well. Beautiful speech. Good bloke, Nicho Hynes.
Record score?
Yeah, record score. He did it easily. Well, I thought Ben Hunt was going to win. He didn't. I think he finished 5 or 6 off the pace.
It's interesting. We had him on earlier this year, the day after, I think, the Sharks lost to St. George. And I remember him being really quite down at that time and seemed really subdued about it. And it really got to him. And it was interesting in his acceptance speech how he said he'd hired a guy to help with his mental preparation and everything. So what an incredible achievement.
All right, Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman and Candace Warner, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
This time next week, this man will be on the mountain. It's next week, isn't it, Rusty?
Sure is. Yeah. Big weekend coming up.
It's one of the great. Grand Final this week. Bathurst next week. There's nothing better. And he's on the line, as usual, for the Rusty's Garage podcast, which you can get for free on the Listener app. Rusty's, we say good morning. Mathematically, Max Verstappen can wrap. I'm sorry, Richard. Rich wants to do. All right, you talk about the F1, Rich.
Well, Verstappen can wrap it up, right? It can mathematically be done this weekend, but it's probably not going to happen. Is it, Rusty?
No, that's Max's thoughts exactly, Richard. So I'm actually talking to you guys from Singapore for the Grand Prix this weekend, and the scrum of media waiting to talk to him last night was absolutely huge. So he says slim chance. The slide rule, if you run it over, it says he's got to win the race. He's got to hope that Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari finishes second, a seventh rather, or worse, and that his own teammate, Sergio Perez, does not finish on the podium. So a few cards have to fall his way. Friday practice under lights, he was unreal, guys. So Lewis Hamilton was on top in session one. It's a bit of confidence in that Mercedes team, and Ferrari's one and two in the second session with Carlos Sainz on top.
Just on Perez, he had the most inauspicious start to F1. Has he got some respect back now?
At Red Bull, he certainly does, yes. So he won the Monaco GP this year. So one of the, you know, as you know, Rich, one of the biggest races on the calendar to win. They feel like he's a perfect complement to Max. He had to work, you know, doggedly hard in his career in Formula One to get that breakthrough win to, you know, there was no certainty that he would even stay in the sport. And he treats, I think, every race and every opportunity with them like that.
Rusty, across the ditch, Shane van Gisbergen is tackling the World Rally Championship event in New Zealand. So the final test for Bathurst for his car was left up to his teammate, Garth Tander.
And Candace, what a set of hands, what a person to lead that job to. So Garth kind of joked about Shane being called a Finnish rally name. He calls his teammate now Juha van Gisbergen. So Shane's doing a good job over there. He's running 11th at the moment, which is amazing when you consider that it's his first time up against the world's best, and he's only 30 seconds off maybe getting a top 10 spot. So that's pretty impressive. Garth talked up a heap of laps at Queensland Raceway in Shane's absence while he's doing that WRC drive, and that's super for Garth. He's a many-time Bathurst winner. They're a great combo together, and with all those laps under the belt, for Garth heading to the mountain, I reckon they're in really good shape from a almost short price favourite sort of status.
And we touched on Bathurst, but you've got Phillip Island coming up, the Australian Grand Prix MotoGP coming up, and our man Jack Miller's in a bit of form.
Yep, a huge weekend for him in Japan. Surprised himself even, Dan. He didn't think that he would do that, and he did it in dominant fashion. So at one point, the lead, I think, was something like 5.4 seconds. So pretty special place to win. And as you say, great form going into Phillip Island before he leaves Ducati. But ironically, the rider that finished second in that race will be his teammate next year. So hopefully that's good signs when he switches to the KTM team next year.
Beautiful stuff, Rusty. Enjoy Singapore. Bendix Brakes, put your foot down with confidence. Triple M, this is the Dead Set Legends.
Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman and Candace Warner, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
All right, we're done for another week. Hey, you've got a new host for the next 3 weeks. I'm off for on a little holiday.
Who's going to host?
I don't know. I assumed it was Maroon, but apparently he's not available either. So maybe Candace or Rich, maybe Richard, you can host.
Oh, no.
My hosting days are over. It was chaos the last time.
If he's hosting,
beneath
you, is it?
Oh, geez, okay.
He no, can't even tip chaos. Us a winner. Imagine him hosting.
Come on.
I don't run the worst quiz in radio history.
It's not the worst quiz.
We can't all be divas. All right, I've got that covered.
I was stopped during the week, actually, about my quiz, how much people love it.
No, you weren't.
No, I was.
No,
I definitely was.
This is not true.
It's true.
No, you weren't. You're a terrible liar.
I was.
Tell the Daily Mail then, Candace.
Oh, maybe I will.
Hey.
And maybe I will.
What about... I had a day in Candace World yesterday. I got clickbaited. For a company I've worked for 10 years, Sportsbet, they clickbaited me. It's unbelievable.
That's not a good sign. That usually means you're getting the
baz. No. Well, I kept saying it's probably my last podcast, so yeah. They absolutely screwed me.
They basil brushed you.
There's a thing they put up that I say that Penrith are whinges. I love the Penrith club.
You did
now,
say
their
that,
management
though.
Has had a couple of whinges. But what a way to say farewell to that company. Yeah. Anyway, Richard, your list of grievances, please.
See, this is in the same genre as my grievance. Right? Mm. You know how I'm sort of, you know, down with the modern vernacular? Well, you know, I
wouldn't say
hang
that.
Hang on, what words have you used today? Vernacular? Genre? What was the word he used with Rusty? It was
inauspicious.
Have you been watching The Crown? I thought my vocab was good, and then I watched The Crown, and our vocab is terrible. Anyway, go on.
Do you ever hear sports people who tell you how tough they've done it to get where they are? This is virtue signalling. That's what it is. It's virtue signalling. Because these are people who have been mollycoddled, usually, from their teenage years with government taxpayer funding, right? Oh, I had a bad knee for 2 years. Yeah, the taxpayer paid for all your rehab. They haven't had it hard. They're just totally in a bubble. They've got no clue what the rest of the world out there is doing. What about people who've got sick kids and they're trying to work two jobs out in the suburbs? What about them? They're doing it hard. These people who are virtue signaling are not doing it hard. They're just having a little bit of a tough time.
Oh, well, boo-hoo. Love it.
Well, that is actually outstanding by you today.
Well done.
Thank you.
We got to go. There's still the all-time top seed Richard's list of grievances. Let's save that for the last
show.
They
got barred. You just want me off the show.
No,
you know,
we'll do it
you
the
now
last
know
show.
That will get
Let's
me off the show.
Let's go out in a blaze of glory. Coming up next, I see over there Craig Gower.
Gowie.
The great Panther. The last Panther. Well, not the last Panthers winning captain. Until last year he was, but he's there. I can see
he
Dave Riccio and Woodsy.
He got clickbaited during the week, Gowie.
What did he do?
Oh, he said something was very benign about, you know, Graham Annesley had told him something and that, you know, Gower blows up all over the headline.
Oh, yeah. So, what about someone breaks their silence? Yeah, that's favourite. Anyway, that's it. We got to go. They're waiting for us. See you tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We're on air, Triple M. 6 o'clock is when the main coverage starts, but enjoy your grand final.
Making a racket. Little tennis joke there.
You are the worst umpire that I've ever seen in my life.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Dan Kinane, Richard Friedman, and Candace Warner.